So, yeah, and I'm so glad that I found the gardens when I came here because they're amazing. Yeah, I can't really imagine what I would have done last summer without them. They've come away. So yeah. How long have you had a garden plot? And have
they changed?
The last 10 years.
And before that, about 20 years ago, I've been on housing 32 years, about 20, 25 years ago, a friend had one under his name, and I and he did it for about 5 or 6 years.
Oh, so that was in the 80s? Okay.
Then I faded away from doing it, had other things. Mm-hmm. And then another person came working here that we had, in fact, this guy. Kind of weird. Here's all my grandchildren and wife, and I got one guy up here sitting in the garden.
Garden plot, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so he came back. I mean, he came to town. So he and I started together. I think this will be the 10th year. I'm not sure. And then he moved away to UW-Superior.
Uh-huh.
Minong. And my wife and I. My wife, who I never thought would want to. She is just totally into flowers, 100%. Uh-huh. And I come from I had an old boss 32 years ago. One of the few things I remember about your boss. You'll find this in your career, too. You probably won't remember anything that happens in the workforce after you retire, but you'll remember a cute little thing.
Yep.
Pete Barber said, don't ever grow anything you can't eat.
Mm. Yep.
So he was from the Depression time. So we laughed about that because our director at the time was Bob Fezzan, who only grew roses.
In the gardens?
At his house in Charlotte. Uh-huh. So here I am thinking, okay, one guy grows roses, other guy grows tomatoes. What do I do? I turned to the tomatoes.
The tomatoes.
They look just as good as roses. You can eat them when you're done.
Yeah, that's right. And so, they smell as good, too.
Yeah. So my wife and I and my daughter have plots that are up in one above the other, and we do have some flowers.
Yeah. Do you have perennial flowers now that it's perennial plots?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, well, we have annuals, too.
And you have annuals.
But we have perennials, and actually, it does add a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the neat freak in the garden. I just am highly critical of any weeds.
Uh-huh.
And my way, and I'm also very, like, everything's on a right angle. Everything's perfect. It's like, oh, victory garden. You can almost tell by that rose. Yeah, everything's perfect all the time. Good. And my wife has got flowers, and it's more, like, comfortable looking. And so we make a good team.
Yeah.
We have a whole bunch of little, like, those things, you know. Gnomes all over.
I must have seen you. I walked through there so many times. I'm sure that I've seen your gardens.
I don't think it would be out of line to say that. I'm sure, like, 100 people say that. We have the neatest, nicest garden up there.
Nice. Yeah. Well, so have you had that same, since you came back in 2000, you had that same plot for 10 years?
When we came back, when Pat said, sure, I'll garden, and everything had changed since then. Before they used to plow over, it was like, I've been almost twice as big as it is now.
And it was twice as big?
Oh, yeah. So it was over the hill where the thumb is. When you look at the garden, however you would do this, this was all garden up here on the top where they now have prairie, and down below where a couple of the schools have taken over, nearer the road, with all our garden if we wanted it. But they would plow everything over every year, replant the sticks, and so you couldn't have perennials, you couldn't have strawberries, you couldn't have anything, because it was gone. And that was okay. I mean, it sounded almost cruel to do that.
Yeah, so
but it was okay because everything got mixed up and everything was good. The way it works now is fine. It's a lot less congested. So it was when you got started. Some of the people would they try to put the markers out as best they could, but I don't think they got a surveyor to do it. You would go back and go, boy, I swear that would be my plot, but now it's like this big, and the plot next to it is like huge. So you go to the group. Oh, just move them. That's okay. But that was okay in those days because that was the attitude. That was okay. It was really a community, relaxed garden atmosphere. It was old people, young people, everything. There was room.
So there were people who weren't students who were gardening when you were gardening in the 80s.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, when I started, it was probably way more older graduate students. It is kind of reversed, although I think the trend for young people is, will always be there, and it should be, because that's actually one of the missions, that's like the mission statement, is, you know, the connection with students. But I think it's pretty much leveled off. You'll see, you know, the records at family housing, I would guess, don't exist.
For the gardens?
Yeah. I would say at best it's hodgepodge.
Oh, yes, it is hodgepodge.
You know, yes. But yeah, when we got a plot, we went out there and talked to the people, and they said, well, here are the open plots. And it was like 4/5 of them were open. Pick one out. Or pick two out. Pick 10 out. Whatever you want.
You mean in 2000?
Yeah. Whoa. You could go, well, we have people planting flowers up there and taking them up to the, uptown, to the square to do the, what's it called, the summer vegetable, God, I forgot the word.
The farmer's market.
Yeah, that was really bad. We had people running and doing it. That was really bad. We had crooks. And they were smart crooks. They circumvented the law, and they probably weren't, they were crooks.
So they were gardeners there, but then they would have...
Then they would sell their stuff. Huh. And then, so we picked out one plot. It's the lower one. I think it's 831. You know, it's funny, I don't remember, but it's been there forever. So Pat and I looked at it, and we looked around. And we said, well, it's far enough away from everybody, so we have quiet. There's a tree over here. We can see the cranes right next to us because the field just west of the gardens were always there. That was never. We now have added like 2 or 3 rows, but further on was always what you see now is what it was for 100 years probably. So we decided, yeah, that's fine. We got, you know, we're pretty strong. We can take the stuff in the mulch, and we're far enough away from the front. We don't want the hassle of everybody coming by us. Don't want to be by a tree too close because of the shade. So we got it.
Yeah.
And it probably had 3 feet of weeds and thistles. But that took us 2 days and probably a 12-pack later, and it was perfect. So a lot of work up front to do
it. A 12-pack of
Beer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, a 12-pack of seedling? Because you know the
I know, I shouldn't say that, or should I? 2 long days on Saturday, Sundays, probably a total of...
In the hot sun, okay.
20 hours, 24 hours to do it.
But then, did they come back again the next year?
No, because we really, really went deep.
You went way deep.
And it was only one plot. That's all we had, was one plot. It was hard.
But
we got everything and made it perfect, and then we were, it was like from 9 o'clock to 1. 9 o'clock to 2 on a Saturday and Sunday. I can remember like it was yesterday going, oh my God, what did we get into here? But everything was that way. It was really crappy. I mean, nobody took care of their stuff. And it was around about 3 years after that is when people decided no one's taking care of these gardens. Anything we hear is arguments about people running them are selling their wares, selling their stuff. To other people who have no connection with the university, which you can be, you know, you can be community. But they have like 8 plots. You know, this is crazy. There's got to be a compromise here. You know, you don't want to throw everything out and start over with just students, because then we wouldn't have gardens either. You know, if it was just students, they'd be gone in 3 or 4 years. You know, because you guys leave every 2 years and there'd be no connection.
Exactly.
To the past. So they got rid of that bunch, and about 6 or 7 years ago was the real good time in the garden. It was a good time when we were there. We always had a good time. We always had great neighbors. Had a real international flavor to it, which was just fantastic. So we always had a blast to go on. So that was fun.
So if you were there, if you started in like 2000, you were there right when everything was happening with the Garden Oversight Committee coming in and losing the finger plots. And
do you remember what year that was?
I'm pretty sure it was 2001.
Yeah, I'm thinking it even might have been. I think you're talking about the thumb or the bottom?
The top. Yeah, up on the hill.
Like the I think that was later, or it went in stages.
Went in stages.
Because the lady next to us,
yeah.
who's really, really nice, has only been there 2 years, she got pushed out of the thumb. I mean, they plowed it over. So they must have done it little by, we had so many gardens. And they were in such horrible shape. We just kind of laughed going, all this land is worth so much to either A, a developer, which you don't want, or B, other people who really want a garden. You know, this is crazy not to be taken care of. So then we lost the top, and then I think, then we lost the bottom.
But all the... I think the agreements were made in like 2000, 2001.
Probably. Yeah, but it's been a couple years ago. The one in the bottom was more scary for us than the ones on top because we're now really close to the line on the bottom, the 800 row.
Yeah.
You know, there seems to be an alliance between the two groups that won't go any further.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is cool. Which is fine. You know, everybody, the more you can use, the better.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you're just one row away from F.H. King then and where we lawn.
Pretty much. Yeah. I think there's a 700
below. And then the F.H. King Gardens.
I think it's the King Gardens. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's about it. It's like,
Yeah.
You know, what we thought would be safe for 1,000 years has been safe for like 4.
Yeah.
And everybody's coming to get us. But I kind of figured, because we're the oldest, as far as I know, the oldest community garden in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
At least the oldest one on campus in the nation.
Yeah.
So there would always be somebody getting their hands dirty someplace.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
It just takes reasonable thinkers to understand, you know, this year's okay, but let's make sure we're around in 10 or 20 years, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and I wasn't sure that was going to happen the last couple of years, but it seems like things have cooled down.
Yeah.
So
besides the plowing, what else have you noticed between your time working in the gardens in the 80s and then now that's different?
They were never taken care of in the 80s. It was a jungle.
Okay.
It was terrible. It was, I mean, there were volunteers that never came.
Uh-huh.
There were work. I don't know if anybody ever got paid. Heck, it was that way till, actually, Will has really done a, I know Will can be a handful at times. He comes from my generation, which can concern some younger people, but he really has done a great job in 2 years.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty great.
It should be appreciated, everything he has done.
Because
3 or 4 or 5 years, it was, about 4 years ago, it was getting really horrible again, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess now there's a little bit of a money concern.
Yeah.
And I talked to Will a little bit about that, because I know somewhat about it from being here.
Yeah.
But, it was horrible in the old days. It was, you plow everything over, you start over again, and it was muddy. There was no, it wasn't really thought out very well. And I know from being here that it was almost thought of as a punishment to be put on that committee if you work for physical facilities and family housing.
Okay, which committee? What committee?
Yeah, the garden committee, because we in housing have a person, I think it's Jan now, that will sit on the committee and should be at the meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, in the 80s, and actually to the early 2000s, if someone heard they were going to, it was their turn to be on the committee, they would do like anything not to be on the committee. It was just pissing and moaning, and nothing ever happened, and it was like, my God, I'm wasting a night coming here.
Yeah. So, I didn't realize that there are people from physical plant on the garden that went to the garden committee meetings.
We're not physical plant.
Oh, sorry, not physical plant.
Housing. Yeah. Jan oversees that. You know what? I've never seen her at a meeting. I think she's supposed to be at the meeting. But Laura Shear is the director of family housing, and she takes, it's more than a fleeting interest in it. Mm-hmm. She takes an interest in it. Mark, who's probably close to my equal out there, I think he's the assistant director. And he makes sure the plumbing works and, you know, you run the work orders through him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's, students keep it up, but the money all comes to housing. Put into our
bank account.
It's good. It's a good place to go. They've done, it looks nice now.
Yeah. It definitely, I mean, this past
I like what they've done
with
the mulch. They've always had somewhat of an allegiance with Shorewood as far as the leaves, as far as I know. They have better equipment now than ever before. Yeah, I guess we're bankrupt. Maybe we should.
We really are bankrupt.
Yeah. But it's really good. And you don't notice people. People used to hoard the equipment. And you don't see that. You know, that's, you would never notice it, except that is so much not community garden to do that. And you would go by plots and see people like bury different, or, you know, have equipment in their garden, obviously trying to hide it. You would see people who lived in the out of family housing with a wheelbarrow and some equipment, taking it to their home, you know, their apartment, so they'd have it probably the next day. God, I'm looking at that going, I'm way too lazy to do this shit.
I know.
Who would do this?
Yeah. Who'd lug all those heavy tools around?
Yeah, I mean, this is really too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, but I think they've done. I think we're on the road to make it real good.
Mm-hmm. Why do you have land by your house that you could have a garden? No.
No, I live on the very near. Do you know where Quarry Park or Hoyt is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I live. Hoyt's a block from us. Quarry Park is across the street from us.
Okay.
And Quarry is about a block off of University Avenue by Harvey Street Apartments.
Uh-huh.
I live on close to Eugene and Harvey, and most of our homes, most of the blocks are built like footballs, so they're like, you know, shaped like a football. And we're at the end of a block, so we have like a postage stamp back
there. Yeah, yeah.
And we have a double garage, and we have some flagstone, and we have a few I guess if you took it all down, we would have enough for a garden.
Yeah,
but we'll take the garage down for a garden.
Would you?
So, yeah, it, we don't have enough. But, you know, I think we would even garden if we could because of the community part of community garden.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you do community service at Luke House or St. Vincent's or something, or even out at Second Harvest at their gardens. Mm-hmm. I coach high school volleyball, and for 10 years, we've gone out to the community gardens. There's 5 one-acre plots around Dade County for Second Harvest, and you give it to the food banks.
Oh,
and we average around 4,000, 4,500 pounds a day that we pick.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're pretty proud of that. We have a lot of, it's becoming kind of a habit anymore than practice that.
Yeah.
with all the different kids. So, but it's all community.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to be said for, you know, keeping grounded a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And I think most people who go to the community gardens are pretty much that way, or should be that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also the food really helps.
Yeah, it's not bad, right?
The food is, it ruins your taste buds in the winter, because people who put tomatoes and stuff or lettuce, it's just nothing.
I can't, you know, no, I don't eat them in the winter, I can't do it.
You know, if I get a sub even here, I'd never ask for tomatoes. They're nothing. They don't taste like anything.
Mm-mm.
So, and we don't can because we give it all away.
You do.
Who do you give?
To your friends, or do you put it on the share shelf, or how do you?
We used to put it out on the community shelf,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have it much. That's one thing. That's a couple of years they haven't emphasized much.
Mm-hmm.
Where people would come by, give it to friends, bring it to work, give it to my brothers.
People.
I just
want
to grow it.
Yeah.
My parents, we have a daughter and her husband have 4 kids in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, give some to them. Whoever wants it.
Mm-hmm.
It's theirs. I gave away probably to other gardeners who I knew were growing acorn squash at the very end. I think that's when I saw Steve. I had like the bushel baskets full of acorn squash, like 6 of them. I gave away like most of it, like 3 or 4 to other gardeners.
Uh-huh.
You grow acorn squash, you couldn't do it here. There's like 30 of them.
Okay.
Knock yourself out.
Mmm, delicious. And those last a long time too.
Oh, we could, absolutely. I don't think we have any more. We could put them in our basement. We could have put them someplace, but we figured we'll grow them again this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only squash we really grow.
Is the acorn? Really?
Yeah. It's the only one my wife really likes, and I like a couple other ones, but I don't need them. I can just do acorn all the time.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good.
It's quite good.
Why are we talking like this? We won't be able to
I know. For a while, I know. I can't wait. It'd be really nice. What kind of tomatoes do you grow? That was my other question.
Well,
or another question.
We have, we usually do about 6 or 8 different ones. We go out to Deerfield and we get the plants from the Deerfield Landscaping and Garden Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they have different ones as they come in. We tried heirlooms. Tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're tough. Wisconsin 55s, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Wisconsin. Sometimes just little grape tomatoes or cherry tomatoes, something to eat while you're out there.
Yeah.
But they go crazy. I mean, they're like the plant from hell. They grow so many, you just can't keep up.
I had one, and I was just, what do I do with
steak tomatoes, great on hamburgers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, mostly bigger beefsteak, Wisconsin 55s.
Mm-hmm.
What are the, young something? It's an early, you get it in July, like mid-July.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're not bad. And different varieties. I mean, we do a lot of different varieties. Whatever they have out there, we just kind of smile and say, let's go with the yellow tomatoes. Let's see what they look like.
Yep.
So,
did, in the 80s, were there sections of the gardens that were organic? And
not that I know of.
No. So, did you grow it? Did you grow organic then?
Oh, we always have tried.
You always have.
Not officially, because I think officially, according to the government, you have to do it either 3 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And be registered every year.
Yeah,
and be tested and stuff. Never
per
did that.
Farm, no.
Yeah, but no, we never have used
any
make Miracle Grow yeah. or anything like that. No, mm-hmm. no, we've never. And I've seen it now. And I know you're not supposed to. I don't think you're supposed to use it. Although no. I think some of the rules are kind of gray still. But I've seen like huge bags of Miracle Grow dirt out there
in the trash cans. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So if somebody is doing it. I have used to keep the ground squirrels away from our tomatoes, which I would gladly share.
Those little seven stripe, the ones yeah. that have holes in, yeah.
Yeah, you know, if they eat the whole freaking thing, I wouldn't mind. It's going to, but you know, they take a little bite and they ruin the whole thing. Yep. I think, come on,
yep.
eat the whole thing. I'll put them out for you. I'll take yep. the whole thing. But so I did go to a place in the far west side, like Jung's or something, and I got this. It was organic, but it was a garlic mixture.
Huh.
And it was in a spray bottle.
Okay, and then you could put it
then I could spray it around the ground, and I okayed it with the committee first.
Yeah.
But fortunately, a person who was on the committee worked there and said, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it that is bad. Mm-hmm. And it worked until it rained, and then it was gone. And it was yeah. pretty expensive, so didn't use a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could use uh-huh. a spray bottle a week if you wanted to, and mm-hmm. it was like $8, $9. So that wasn't...
Yeah.
The idea also, a little bit financially, doesn't really weigh
yeah.
perfect. So
yeah, that's it. What really bothered me were, it was either mice or moles or something that would come and just eat the tops of my beets and my carrots. Did you have that ever happen? And so I go around, and because, you know, when they're just coming out, and all of them had, like, these little bites taken out of just the top.
It's
like, oh, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I did. We actually had really good luck with carrots, which mm-hmm. isn't always the case, because
mm-hmm.
the ground's a little clayey.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough sand in it.
Yeah.
But ground squirrels, moles, gophers, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
They're up there, and there's so many holes, and I've seen people try to plug them, and I just smile.
So,
they'll have two more tunnels by tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, that's not stopping anybody. So.
It's true. It's really true. So what more do you know about how the universe, the relationship between the university and the gardens and their oversight? Like, what was it in the 80s? Since you were working here in the
yeah.
80s, too.
They left us alone.
Okay.
Everyone,
yeah.
that land was like virgin land.
Mm-hmm.
The 80s and the 90s was not a time of growth on the university campus.
Mm.
There was, mm-hmm. I bet there wasn't more than a couple buildings, if even one, built on campus.
Mm.
That was the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was looking for land. The developers that you now run into in Madison didn't exist.
Mm.
There was nothing like that. Somewhere about 10 years ago, and I don't know if it's because of the TIF money in Madison, or
TIF? What's TIF?
Well,
money?
It's a tax incentive where you get a tax break if you build.
Okay.
So that's why you see all these
the buildings
apartments
coming. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
just popping up in Lucky's. They would never do that unless they got $15-20 million worth of tax relief for
yeah.
like guaranteed for 5 years or something.
Uh-huh.
That's what our money's going to.
Huh.
So they build. And on campus, when Chancellor Wiley was here, it was called either unofficially or officially the $1 billion mile. And it was from basically Regent Street to the lake, $1 billion worth of buildings were going to be built in the next 10 years.
Whoa.
And we've had at least, in housing, at least 100 million of them. With
wow.
new dormitories, two new dorms on the southeast. There'll be, Gordon Commons will be built as new.
Mm-hmm.
Down here we'll have a new food service unit, two new dorms.
Wow.
And you see all the buildings going
wow.
down.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
that's
huge
and the new one
growth.
In the corner down here.
Uh-huh.
So... probably will be close to $1 billion. But that
wow.
was during the 2000s. So then they started to look to expand.
Mm.
And different, whoever was ahead of whatever departments came a-knocking because they saw the west side and our
mm-hmm.
beautiful big secret, you know, somebody discovered.
Yep.
Like, okay.
Yep.
You know, now we'll see. And there was a lot of internal arguing. When I first, about 2000, and then there was a lot of people not getting along. And
on the garden committee or in
oh
the
yeah.
gardens? Or
the garden,
okay.
garden
yeah.
committee. It never really affected the gardens at all, just the
mm.
committee.
Mm-hmm.
And the notes. I mean, the last couple of years, some of the notes, let's be honest, are really rude. You know, it's what some people can say an email is bravado, but it's rude because other people can get those emails.
Yeah.
And there's departments that are around that would love to see internal fighting, I think, in the garden committee because they would... You know, if it's the King Garden or the people above us with the prairie, hey, if they can move over a little bit, they'll move over a little
mm-hmm.
bit. You know, they'll,
mm-hmm.
so it's not dog eat dog, but if they see we're not getting along and doing things, and
yeah,
things happen. So be careful
yeah.
what you put on an email, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, quit this. Don't let people know you're fighting among ourselves.
Uh-huh.
So that's pretty much the 80s and 90s. The growth in campus was in there. The year 2000 it started.
Mm-hmm.
And we've expanded. Our campus has changed, not only the gardens, but the campus as a whole. It's changed so drastically.
Yeah.
It just blows me away.
Uh-huh.
You know, so. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the need for land. Well, that was when the Charter Street power plant went in. Do you remember any of the discussions about the
one down here went in? Charter Street's been there forever.
What's the one down here? The Walnut Street
that
plant went in.
Yeah, that took about 8 or 9 years to get finished.
Okay.
Yeah, and more energy, and that was supposed to be cleaner energy.
Uh-huh. Cogeneration? What does that...
Well, I don't think it's nuclear. I think it's a step one below it, though. Mm. It's supposed to be clean. It's got all this filtration devices mm-hmm. going into it.
Okay.
No coal.
Okay.
And actually, I guess the one on Charter Street is going, we got like 1 or 2 years to get rid of all the coal.
Yeah,
maybe 1 year.
Like that, yeah.
And it's like 80 or 90% coal now. It'll go, mm-hmm. it's going to be wood.
Mm.
And I laugh when I heard it. There's going to be trains coming through town 24/7 to put wood there.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing burns faster than wood.
No,
and it'll be subsidized by natural gas. So you're going to see a lot of natural gas, and all the prices around here will go sky high, you know, because that's clean, but it's really expensive. It's,
yeah.
And you hook on with Madison, so it's going to, you're not going to get any breaks, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
So
the Walnut Street plant went in 2000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, a little bit later in 2000, but around that. Yeah.
Around that. Okay.
Yeah, that was amazing to see that get built. Just people who do that have to be geniuses.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so quiet. And
yeah,
it's so clean.
True.
You never see anything come out of the chimney. It's just clean.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But they built that knowing that campus is going to expand.
Oh, okay.
And it has.
Yeah.
You know, it has expanded. And it will continue to expand for the Discovery Building on University Avenue.
Right, yeah.
The new Humanity Building that will be going in, our new building.
Where's the new Humanities?
Well, the old Humanities is kind of dead.
yep.
The new one, last I heard, was on Park Street in Dayton, in Johnson, sitting where there's a whole clump of old houses.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to lose a couple of our
dorms.
But that changes. One time Wiley wanted to put the new art department there because he's really big. I know he's an engineer, but he's really big in art.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that fell through.
Mm-hmm.
So these plans change a lot as they go on.
Yeah.
Who knows, maybe 20 years now before they do anything.
Yeah.
But they're buying... University is buying property on University Avenue. Brothers Three, you've probably seen that in the local newspaper.
Yeah.
They would want
to right.
their domain over them and say, move, we want the block.
It's just amazing.
It's take it all.
The spread.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy. Oh, yeah. What were you going to say? Were you about to say something?
No.
No.
I do have to leave in about 5 or 10 minutes. I have an interview with Smith Hall.
Good. Do you know, I think I mentioned in my email, that Steve Williams and then other people have mentioned Howard Schunk or Shank?
Yeah, Howard was around. He actually has been gone for quite some time. Howard married a Resident Life person. Yeah, it's funny, when I read his name, I smiled. I said, boy, I haven't heard Howard's name in so long. He's been gone a long time, though.
Well, okay, because Steve said that he had seen him around maybe a year ago. And
well,
didn't know where his... And I was just wondering if you had any idea how I could find his contact information.
I would just get the correct spelling of his name and put it in the...
Do you know what... S-C-H-E-U-N?
I'm not sure. Howard Schunk. I mean, I haven't heard Howard's name in so long.
I don't know.
Let me see if I can get it. You think you have it close to the...
Yeah. Something like S-C-H-E-U-N-K?
E-U-N-K.
But I really don't know, because several people have spelled it differently. No E.
That's a little skunk.
That's all I know.
I don't think it's Howard Skunk.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's been gone for so long.
I know. People say he would be the person to talk to about how the how the gardens were managed, because he was the link between... You know, he was the housing land manager person, right?
Yeah.
So
Mark is up there now, but I don't know if he would give you much info that you haven't gotten from other people. He's Mark's always pretty much a hands-off manager, so he probably couldn't give you much of the...
Yeah.
And he seems to do it with a smile, which, like I said earlier, not everyone has always done it with a smile.
Yeah.
It probably started after Howard left that, do I have to be on this committee? But it looks nice. It's a good place to be.
It is a good place to be. Do you have any other names, or do you know people who've been there for a long time that I could also talk to? My last question. I haven't
contacted. No.
No, okay.
We learn our names, our first names only. I would say most of those gardeners,
so
I wouldn't
true.
Know Will on the street.
Yeah.
And there was a guy named Tomas. He was from Bangladesh or Pakistan. We would know him because when he was there with Pat and I, he had his PhD in chemistry, couldn't find a job, so his wife was working. He'd garden in a white dress shirt and dress pants. He was in gas. And he was down from us a little bit and over to the side. Every Friday we would go and he'd be waiting for us. I mean, he was just wanted to talk to some guys so bad. He had a couple kids and you'd take and he was playing house dad. And I don't think in his country house dads were real popular.
And
we finally got him. He, about halfway through, I think it was the first summer, might have been the second summer, we always would bring some beer on a Friday afternoon, which is, I guess, not legal, and some water. Oh. And Tomas goes, sure. And then finally goes, is that beer? Yes. Well, we knew he was Muslim.
Oh, yeah.
We knew he wasn't supposed to drink.
Uh-huh.
I said, do you want to try one? This guy's like 40 years old and he's afraid.
Yeah.
Sure. Boy, he drank one and he was just, every Friday he was waiting for us. Like three or four Fridays in a row. You could just see him, Pat, and I would laugh so much. It's like, this guy's world's open. I said, God, well, we don't ruin his marriage. This guy's had a beer. About, I don't know, 6 or 7 weekends into it. But this is so funny because this is like what happens out at the community gardens. He turned around and goes, oh, that's my wife. And he's holding a beer. And I had water in my hand or something, and she was still 30, 40 yards away. Without even saying anything, he took my water, gave me the beer, and goes, please don't tell. And I said, no problem. Because she never came out. She was a very professional woman.
Oh, okay.
It was hilarious when he came out. And we smiled like, boy, now he does sound like an American husband. He's okay.
Don't say anything. The change is assimilating.
Yes,
the gardens.
That's it. So we did. I said, we may have ruined this guy's life. We gave him a beer. But he was a great guy. Great guy. They moved away. I think he ended up getting a job. They came down from Canada.
Mm.
And, most people move away from there, end up getting jobs.
Yeah.
That's why so many are, I don't like to make statements without having a solution.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many abandoned gardens.
Yeah.
That, if one of the thing of, and I don't know how we're doing this year for gardeners being on the waiting list or not on the waiting list, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What it's like, you don't hear much. I imagine they know where the peak is or they're handling it better.
Yeah.
But by July 1, you walk around out there, you can see how many gardens are abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
People have gotten,
I know, yeah.
Are gone.
Mm-hmm.
If there's somehow those people could tell the committee they're gone.
Yeah.
And let other people either keep them up, take them over, or start them saying, you will have it for this year and all the next year, then after that, your name goes into the list.
Yeah.
That way, it wouldn't look, because everything looks so good until mid-July, where I imagine a lot of students leave. Then, boy, at the end again, it starts looking the way it looks.
Yeah.
Because people go away.
Yeah.
And
just go downhill.
Yeah, and you can see all these vegetables rotting. Oh, I would happily put in.
I know.
Ours and put them at the shared table or.
I would go and pick
people
them.
People would just know.
Uh-huh.
A big sign in the middle: help yourself. I've left for grad school.
Yeah.
I've left for a job. People could go in there and help themselves.
Yeah.
It wouldn't go rotting away.
I know.
When Pat was here, we always talked about that, and he said, you can't just take anybody's tomato. I said, I'm not taking. I'm going to find out if these gardens are abandoned. I said, we can give them to Luke Houses on Williamson Street.
Uh-huh.
On Williamson Street.
Yep.
And they serve lunches and suppers six and a half days a week.
Wow.
And we give these to different people.
Yeah.
We gladly do that. I said,
Anything's
better than giving any more to the ground squirrels when it falls.
It's so depressing to see how much produce does just go to waste that people can't keep up with.
That's the tough part. I think everything else, everything physically that can be handled, is being handled.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do a great job of keeping it up, cleaning it up. Financially, I guess they had a little problem with their you know, bank account. Mm-hmm. But that will work out in the days to come.
Yeah.
As far as the waiting list goes, I think people were so much yelling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the committee meetings and I realized there was a couple of students that forgot to sign up. They wanted in, there was no in, they raised a stink, things happen, fine.
Yeah.
Work it out. Anybody who got their name in earlier, got in right, should get a plot.
Yeah.
You know, I know that last year Will said by the time the gardening was like really in, mm-hmm. everyone who wanted a plot had a plot.
Yeah.
And there were still like 7 full plots they could either divide, mm-hmm. 6 or 7, or leave us full.
Yeah.
That weren't taken.
Yeah.
So I said, "This you're not going to find it any more than it is now. I mean, mm-hmm. this isn't going to, all of a sudden we're not going to have 1,000 extra students go out there. It doesn't happen that
way. Yeah, no.
You know, so hopefully that will be taken care of, but if they could find somehow people abandoned plots, make it worth their while to come to us.
Yeah.
And come to the committee.
Come to the
say,
committee.
It's
exactly.
open, help yourself, mm-hmm. or keep it up.
Yeah, leave a sign in there. Yeah, leave a sign.
Leave a sign. Well, some of the volunteering can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that sign up, because my wife and I and our daughter, we give the extra money so we don't volunteer. Mm-hmm. That's left over from when I started. The volunteering was just crap. Mm-hmm. No one came. No one did anything. There was no leadership. Mm-hmm. So I would think between Sue and I and our daughter, we put in 40, 50 hours mm-hmm. of volunteer work a summer. Mm-hmm. Because we just pick everything up. We have a weed whacker. We'll go around some of the mm-hmm. outlets and spigots and clean them.
Yeah.
Clean them up. We'll pick up stuff and take it away.
Yeah.
And don't care if it, Will has seen me do that a few times. Yeah. And he said, you know, you should, you know, look. I said, well, I'm just, it's part of the community thing. You just pick up. Mm-hmm. If somebody else didn't pick it up, you pick it up.
Yeah.
So if we're done at 11 o'clock in the morning, sometimes we take our dog out, and for an hour and a half, we'll walk around and pick everything up with a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we could probably do that about every third day and get a wheelbarrow full of crap.
That's true.
So we're doing both parts as much as we can. Mm-hmm. But it's good. It's a good place to be.
Yeah.
How much longer are you going to be in Madison?
Only the summer, I think. But
you're going to leave in July and leave your garden?
No way. I'm not going to be done by July. I'm going to... Hope I'll probably finish this thesis by the end of the summer.
Have you always gardened?
Not on my own, but with my family. I've always gardened. Yeah. So I grew up gardening with my mom, and then I gardened. I had maybe one garden before this on my own, and then this was my first, like.
A lot of work.
Garden. Yeah, but I don't think of it as work. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm out there all the time.
Well, to me, it's solitude. No cell phone, mm-hmm. no nothing.
Yeah.
Chairs. Mm-hmm. Go on. Sunday morning, we'll attend to what we have to attend to, read the paper, drink coffee.
I have seen you both walk out on a Sunday with your chairs and the newspaper and the coffee. Yep.
Yes. And it just sits in the sun.
You
know, we do the work, we get done. We just go out there and relax. Mm-hmm. Occasionally have our dog with us. Mm-hmm. But she's kind of a bigger collie and likes to romp more than we like to romp.
Yeah.
But as I said earlier, I coach.
Yeah.
I don't want to be interrupted. Mm-hmm. And my wife doesn't mind not being interrupted at all.
Yeah.
So we just sit there and have like 4 or 5 hours of just hoping to get a hold of us.
Yeah.
And I love it when you go back and you get a message. Joe, I've been trying to get a hold of you.
Oh,
well, I know. That's why I didn't answer the phone.
Sorry.
I'm not a fool. Yeah. You know, yes, we will go out there and just relax.
Yeah, it's such a, it's a really nice place. Well, I know you have to go, but
yeah,
thank
you so
much. Yeah, I have
to go interview a new locksmith.
A new locksmith.
A new locksmith.